We've been learning about the blessings of God and that He has given to us and that He wants to give to us in our lives. And I've said to you in some previous messages in this series of messages that God really wants to bless you, and I really want Him to. Amen. And I want to receive all the blessings, everything that God has purpose for my life. I want to be able to receive, and I want that for you as well. I don't want you to miss out on the blessings of God. And we've been in this series of messages looking at some of the areas of God's blessings, that is, the areas in which God has and wants to bless us in our lives. And then we begin to look at some of the avenues of God's blessings, that is, just trying to discover what it is, how it is, and the means by which God wants to bless us. And we need to get on the right road if we're going to receive all that God has for us. The right avenue, got to go down the right path, and God has it all laid out for us. We don't have to wonder one road we need to go down. And we've been discovering that over the last several weeks. We've discovered, ladies and gentlemen, that it begins with what I call the avenue of salvation. And that is, if you and I are going to receive all that God has for us, then you have to be saved. And that is, God blesses all of His creation with a measure of blessings. But I tell you that the maximum blessings of God are reserved for those who've been saved, that know that they're saved, and that are in Christ. And those who are in Christ, the Bible says in Ephesians 1, have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And so first of all, it begins with salvation. And that is, if you haven't been saved, then you're missing out. You're missing out on the wonderful blessings that God wants for your life. And not only this life, but also when this life is over, the blessings of God, you got to get on the avenue of salvation. Now, many of you already are saved. And maybe most of you are already saved. You're already on the avenue of salvation. And as you're traveling down the avenue of salvation on your way to heaven someday, as you travel through this life, there are some other avenues that you can go down to receive blessings that God has purpose for you. Let me remind you of what some of them are that we've already seen in the Word of God. And that is, we've talked about the avenue of humility. If you want to be blessed, then you've got to learn to be. Don't take the road of pride, but go down the avenue of humility, and God will bless you. We've discovered that there's an avenue, the avenue of prayer. Now that you're saved, you can walk with God in prayer, and there are some blessings that you can only receive through prayer. That is, by getting alone with God and seeking Him in prayer. We spent some time talking about the avenue of repentance. And that is, when you're going down Salvation Avenue on your way to glory, there comes a road stop every once in a while. And that is a block in the road, and you're stopped and you're not moving forward and you want to know why and you're trying to figure it out. And God begins to reveal to you there's something in your life that's hindering you moving forward. And you say, Pastor, I don't want to sit here and not move forward. Then there's a road right off to the right. It's called the Avenue of Repentance. If you'll repent and turn from that and turn to God, then you can keep growing and becoming everything God wants you to be, and you'll experience blessing after blessing. We spent some time talking about the avenue of obedience recently over the last few services. We discovered that if you and I who are saved, if we're going to receive all the blessings that God has for us, then we have to learn how to obey God. That is, listening to the voice of God, paying attention, focusing on what God is saying, finding out what the timing of God is, and then following after the will of God. And listen to me now, by faith in the person of God, if you'll just obey God, then it'll lead to blessings. Go down the road, the avenue of obedience. So I'm going to speak to you for a few moments this morning about another avenue that God has set for you that you can get on and go down, and so that you might be blessed. And it is the avenue called giving. The avenue of giving. I want you to listen to what Psalm 41 says. Psalm 41, the Bible says in verse number 1, blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in the time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. And he shall be blessed. Listen to this. And he, that is the one who considers the poor, will be blessed upon the earth. And thou wilt not deliver him under the will of his enemies. Who is going to be blessed? The Bible says it's the one who is considering the poor. The idea, obviously, is the idea of giving. We see it again in Proverbs 22:9, where the Bible says that he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. So one of the ways that you and I can be blessed as we're traveling down Salvation Avenue is by getting on an avenue that is a road called giving. And ladies and gentlemen, if you and I learn how to give, the Bible says that those who give are indeed those who are going to be blessed by God. And now I'm going to speak to you about that for just a little while. Now I want to say to you that the reason why the God's people, those who are saved, the reason why do we give is because of our relationship to God. The reason why we give, say, Pastor, why should I go down the road of giving? The reason why you should is because of your relationship to God. And that is that those who have been saved, who've been born again, ladies and gentlemen, they have God the Holy Spirit living on the inside of them. Now, remember who God is. The Bible tells us about Him in John 3:16, one of our favorite verses, where the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave." He didn't give just a little bit. He didn't just give a lot. He gave His only begotten Son. The Bible says He did it for us. And the reason why is so that, ladies and gentlemen, we would not perish, but so that we would have everlasting life. So those who believe on Him will have everlasting life. God gave His Son. Now think about that for just a moment. Think about all that God has given for us. And when you think about the fact that God gave all of this for us, gave His beloved Son to come to this earth, die on that cross for us, God gave His very best for us. And that is, think about the Son of God, ladies and gentlemen, who left heaven's glory, left the riches of heaven to become poor, so that you and I who were living in spiritual poverty might become wealthy, that we might become rich, so that we might be blessed. Those of us living under the curse of sin might be blessed with the blessing of everlasting life. God gave all of that for us. And when you got saved, that very same God who did all of that came to live on the inside of you. And that's the reason why that those who are truly saved, those who have been born again, have a desire on the inside of them to give. Now, many of you know what I'm talking about. You've been born again, and the Spirit of God is living on the inside of you. And on the inside of you, therefore, is a desire, a motivation to give. Now, listen, those who are not born again, who don't have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of them, who are just living out of their old sinful nature, there is dominating their life a selfishness and a self-centeredness dominating their life. Their life, according to Ephesians 2, is all about just fulfilling the desires of their own flesh. That is, their selfish, sinful desires. But when God saved you, forgave you, took up residence on the inside of you, listen to me now, He broke that selfishness on the inside of you, and He gave you a selfless heart, a heart that desires to put others ahead of yourself, a heart that desires to give. The reason why we give is not a legalistic reason, ladies and gentlemen. The reason why we give is because of the God who now lives on the inside of us. It is a desire to give that flows out of our relationship to God. Listen, if you don't have a desire to give, you ought to back up and do a little checkup and make sure that you really know this God that is the God of the Bible. You say, "I sure do have a desire to give." But listen to me now. That's the old nature. That's the old sinful person. That's the old man. But listen, if you've been born again, there ought to be a desire on the inside of you to give. The reason why that God's people want to give is because of our relationship with the God who gives. But it's not just a reason why we give. It's also what we want to consider is the results of our giving. As a result, the result of giving, ladies and gentlemen, is the blessing of God on your life. And that is, when God's people who know Him, when they start using their time and their resources to bless others, that is to give, to share with other people, then the result is going to be blessing all around. It is the avenue of blessing that leads to the blessing of God in your life. Let me just give you a few verses. And for example, we find in the Proverbs, we'll find several places there where the Bible affirms this truth. Listen to Proverbs chapter number 3 and verses number 9 and 10. Here's what it says. Honor the Lord with thy substance. That is, with all the material things you have, honor God with it. And the first fruits of all thine increase. That is, when those who are in agricultural society, they were to bring the very first of their crops, and they were to give it to God, the tithe or the tenth of the crops. He said, honor the Lord with all of that, and here's what the promise is. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. And that is, if you want to be blessed, then give. If you want your crops to be blessed so that your barns are full and so that your wine press is full, then give the first fruits. That is, honor God with the best that you have. That's the promise. That is, the result is the blessing of God. You'll see it again in Proverbs chapter 19 and verse number 17. In Proverbs chapter 19 and verse number 17, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. And the Bible says, and that which he hath given, will he pay him again. He sure will. That is, those who help others, those who give to others, are actually given to God. The Bible says you're actually giving it to God when you give it to somebody else. And the Bible says God's going to pay you right back. He's going to repay you, as you and I have said and others have said, many have said, you just cannot outgive God. That is, the more you give, the more God gives. You say, how could that be? Because God's shovel's a lot bigger than yours is. God gives more and more. He blesses those who give. Listen to Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28, ladies and gentlemen, and verse number 27. It says, he that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. Those who do not want to see the needs in front of them so that they don't have to help meet those needs, the Bible says a curse is coming. But those who do see those needs and give to the poor, God is going to bless them and they will not lack. Remember Proverbs 22:9, he that hath the bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth his bread to the poor. Listen to Malachi, and Malachi speaks a lot about giving. In Malachi chapter number 3 and verse number 10, he said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. He's talking about the Old Testament command for the Israelites to bring a tenth of all of their crops and herds and give it to God. Bring all your tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me. Now herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. God says, just test me. Prove me or test me and see if I won't open up the windows of heaven and bless you. And that is by bringing your tenth or your tithe into the storehouse. God says, just try me and see if I will not bless you. Give it a whirl. Give it a try. Go ahead and put God to the test. The Bible says in Luke 6:38, this is the words of our Lord. Say, Pastor, that's Old Testament. Look at the New. Luke 6:38 says, give and it shall be given unto you. I'm going to say it again. Give and it shall be given unto you. Hey, not just a little bit, but good measure. And pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosom. The Bible tells us there. Jesus said, if you'll give, God will give, and he'll give and bless you a lot. In 2 Corinthians 9 and verse number 6, the Apostle Paul spent a lot of time writing to the Corinthians in both letters about giving. And here's what he said in 2 Corinthians 9:6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now that's easy for us, sowing and reaping, right? And he's using it in the context of giving in 2 Corinthians 9. And that is, he says, if you'll be bountiful in your giving, you'll reap bountifully. And if you give sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. The Bible says, you understand that, don't you? And the reason why some of you are going to plant a garden here for very long, and you're going to go out there and you're going to be able, and you're just going to plant one tomato in the ground. And you're going to expect a great harvest. You're going to expect so many tomatoes that you're going to be able to can tomatoes and have tomatoes to give away to the neighbors, aren't you? Well, of course not. If you only plant one tomato plant, you're just barely going to have enough for your own sandwich. But listen, if you plant 50 tomato plants, and you're going to have enough to can and give away and more than you'll want. You're going to reap a great harvest, and the reason why is because you've sowed a lot. Even so it is with giving. And that is, if you give little, then you reap little. If you give a lot, then you reap a lot. Talking about the blessings of God, those who give, ladies and gentlemen, and those who give bountifully and abundantly and not sparingly, the Bible tells us here that God will bless them abundantly. That is, you can't get away from it. That is in the Bible. You cannot escape this principle, ladies and gentlemen. And that is, if you want to be blessed, one of the roads you got to go down is the avenue of giving. Those who are stingy, those who are selfish, those who will not give and help others, and ladies and gentlemen, the Bible indicates to us, miss out on the blessings of God. Now I'm going to show you an example of this in the Bible in the time that we have. An example of this kind of giving and is found among one of the churches, among the believers in the city of Philippi. So turn to Philippians chapter number 4, and we'll spend the rest of our time focusing on this example that I'm trying to communicate to you. An example of a giving church. That is, when you read Paul's letters to the New Testament churches, you'll find not a more personal, loving letter than the letter to the Philippians. Paul loved these believers. And as you read the letter, you'll find out that it's also obvious that these Philippians loved the Apostle Paul. And one of the ways that they demonstrated their love and appreciation towards this man of God was by giving to him. That is, they paid really close attention to what his needs were in his life, and they tried to do everything they could to try to meet those needs in his life. And in this last chapter of this letter that he wrote to them, he writes to them about the history, reminds them of the history of their giving. Let's take a look at the history of their giving right here in Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 15. He writes, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated or shared with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity." Paul is remembering here back when the Philippians gave to him in the past. They had a history of giving. As a matter of fact, he goes all the way back to what he refers to in verse 15 as the beginning of the gospel. And that little phrase that he uses there, the beginning of the gospel, is referring to when he first came to the city of Philippi with the gospel on his second missionary journey. You might remember that occasion. I preach about it once in a while. When Paul was on his second missionary journey in the book of Acts, the Bible says he was trying to figure out what direction to go in Acts 16. And he wanted to go into Asia, and the Spirit of God said no. And then he wanted to go north to Bithynia, and the Spirit of God said no. And he ended up in Troas, and there he received a vision one night of a man saying, "Come and help us," and he was from Macedonia. And so Paul knew that Paul and the others who were traveling with him, that is Silas and Timothy and others, they knew that God was calling them to leave the area of the Middle East and to travel across the waters into the continent of Europe, into the country of Greece, an area of Macedonia, that they were to travel there with the gospel. And in the area of Macedonia, ladies and gentlemen, is the city of Philippi. One of the first cities that he went to on his first missionary journey. And the Bible says that from the beginning of the gospel, from the time that he entered the city of Philippi and began to preach to them, and a church got started in the city of Philippi, that they wanted to give. And it was in the city of Philippi that you'll remember that Paul was met with a lot of resistance. It was in the city of Philippi that he ended up being arrested and beaten. It was in the city of Philippi that he ended up being put in the jail. That is, it was a demon-possessed slave girl that he cast the demon out of, and as a result of that, she wasn't able to tell the future, wasn't able to tell fortunes anymore, and so those who owned her, making money off her, got really upset and got everybody else upset, and they stirred up a riot against them and accusations against Paul and Silas and got them arrested and beaten and thrown into jail in Acts chapter number 16. It was in that jail that that Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises at midnight, and God sent the earthquake, the jail got saved, and his family got saved. Lydia got saved earlier on, and guess what? A church got started. After Paul left Philippi, he went to Thessalonica with the gospel, and he faced even more resistance there. And that is, in the city of Thessalonica, the Jews stirred up a riot against Paul and Silas and the new believers who had trusted Christ in the city of Thessalonica, and actually stormed the house where they were meeting and arrested the leaders of that church. Those hadn't been saved very long, just a few days, maybe a week or two, and they're already in jail, arrested for the gospel's sake. And Paul and Silas had to escape the city of Thessalonica. Listen to me, under the cover of darkness during the night, those believers got them out of there because the leaders of that city were looking for them to arrest them and to hurt them. So they were met with much resistance. When Paul first took the gospel into these Macedonian cities like Philippi and Thessalonica, those were difficult days. But these new believers at Philippi, they jumped right in and began to share in Paul's ministry by caring for his needs. You see, one of the things that Paul often did is he often worked with his hands. He was a leather worker or a tent maker, and he often provided for himself in that sort of way. But under such pressure, that is under persecution, he was unable to do that when he got to Thessalonica. And so he has needs in his life. And the believers at Philippi, just having been saved not too long, they began to try to minister to his needs. And you'll see that. Did you know that when Paul was in the city of Philippi, there was a woman there named Lydia? She met down by the riverside, the Bible tells us, and with other women. And that's where Paul began his ministry in Philippi, down by the riverside, meeting with those women and sharing the word of God with them. And Lydia got saved. And do you know what Lydia did? The Bible says that Lydia opened up her home to Paul and those who were with him. And he was able to find a place of refuge, a place to stay, a place to be cared for, and meeting his physical needs. That is, she was a giving woman. She was giving to be able to help the Apostle Paul. And not only that, but did you know that when he was in the jail in Philippi, after he was arrested and put in that jail, the Bible tells us in Acts 16 that after God sent the earthquake and after the jailer got saved, he took Paul home and he fed him and he washed the stripes. That he had probably laid on him himself and strengthened him and the others. Ladies and gentlemen, he was giving and ministering to the Apostle Paul in the city of Philippi. There were believers there, ladies and gentlemen, who had just gotten saved, who were doing everything they can to help and give to the Apostle Paul. Listen, according to Acts 16, Philippians 4 and verse 15, the Philippians not only cared for Paul while he was with them in Philippi, but even after he left the area of Macedonia, they continued to support him by sending gifts to him. As a matter of fact, Paul reminds them in verse 15 that I read to you that there were times when they were the only ones helping him. They were the only ones. You see, this church at Philippi was so committed to supporting Paul and his ministry that they were willing to do it all by themselves if they needed to. Now, I want you to get this. Most churches look around and see what other churches are doing and just do that. But these believers at Philippi were so committed to supporting the work of the Apostle Paul that they were willing to do what no other church was doing. They were sort of on the cutting edge in their giving, doing what nobody else is by supporting the Apostle Paul. You see, they understood this basic principle that Paul refers to in verse number 15 as giving and receiving. And that is, the principle is that those who receive are the ones who give. Now, I know this seems backwards to our world, and that is, it seemed to me that those who receive are those who receive. But the principle is this, and that is, if you want to receive, then you got to learn how to give. And they understood that. If you're going to be, in other words, here's the principle. If you're being benefited by something, then you ought to give to it. If you're being benefited by something, then you ought to give to it. Now, we understand this basic principle. That is all over our community. There are parents who volunteer to spend time at schools and coach ball teams and lead organizations. And the reason why that they invest their time, give their time, is because their children are involved in those activities. And it's only right that those who have been benefited and whose children have been benefited from those organizations that they give to them or they support them. The same is true here at church. And those who benefit from the ministries here at church, it's only right that they would contribute their time and resources to be able to help those ministries. That is, that those who are benefited by the nursery ought to help out in the nursery. And those who are blessed by having their children in a children's ministry ought to help out with that ministry. The same is true with all of our other ministries here at church. And that is, if you're part of our church at Eastern Gate or whatever church somebody might be a part of, you're being blessed by its ministries, then you ought to support it. You ought to support it by using your talents and your time and also by giving gifts to be able to support those ministries. We all understand that. Those who are receiving from the ministry ought to be giving to the ministry. And listen, these folks understood that. The folks in Philippi, they understood that as well. Let me read to you a few verses to kind of support that. The Bible says in Romans 15 and verse number 25, listen to what this says. It says, Paul writes, "But now I go into Jerusalem to minister unto the saints." Listen to this. "For it hath pleased them of Macedonia," that'd be Philippi, "and it pleased them of Achaia," that'd be the regions around there like the city of Corinth, "to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem." That is, they've been collecting an offering for Paul to take to Jerusalem to the saints and the apostles in the city of Jerusalem. Here's what it says in verse 27. "It hath pleased them verily." That is, they want to do this. They really desire to give this to them, and their debtors they are. Listen to this. Their debtors, that is, they feel an indebtedness or an obligation to give the Gentile churches to the Jews in Jerusalem, the Jewish church in Jerusalem. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. Do you see the principle? The early churches felt an obligation, especially the Gentile churches in Philippi and Thessalonica and Corinth and other places. They felt an obligation to collect an offering to give to the saints, the Jewish believers, the original church in Jerusalem, to help them out during their time of need because of a famine in the land and difficulty in that area. And they want to help them out. And the reason why is because the church in Jerusalem had helped them out. And that is that this is where all this started. This is where the church got started, and this is where the church spread from. That is, from Jerusalem. So they were benefited by the church in Jerusalem, and so they wanted to bless them as well. We see this same thing in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Look at 2 Corinthians 8 for just a moment, and you'll see what I'm talking about there as well. In verse number 12, this same principle says, "For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to a man hath, and not according to what he hath not." That is, if you want to give, then give. And by the way, the Bible says here you give according to your ability. Some people have a lot, they can give a lot. Some people give a little, and they just give a little. But it's according to what you have. "For I mean not that other men be eased and you burdened, but by an equality, that now this time your abundance may be a supply for their want." That is, those who have more supplying for those who don't, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, "He that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack," referring to the Old Testament gathering of the manna. Those who have a lot help those who don't have much, and those, ladies and gentlemen, who may not have much may be able to help you in some way as well. It's God's people contributing to one another. The Bible says in Galatians 6 and verse number 6, it says, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate or share unto him that teacheth in all good things." And that is, the Bible is telling us here, Paul writes and he tells the Galatians, now listen, those who are teaching the word of God, that is, those who are being taught by them, should share with them. There's a basic principle here, and that is, if you and I are being blessed, then we ought to try to be a blessing to those who are blessing us. Hey, if somebody's blessing you, bless them. Listen, that's the principle that's being taught here. You say, "Pastor, this is kind of a strange thing." No, I'm trying to teach you how you can be blessed. And it's by giving. It is by giving. This is what the Philippians were doing. That is, just think about all that they had received through Paul's ministry. Think about what they had received because of Paul's ministry. He brought the gospel to them. He's the one who endured that beating, that Philippian jail experience, ladies and gentlemen, to plant that church and start that church in Philippi. All that he gave, all that he sacrificed, all that he put on the line, and all that they had received because of him. They had been saved, and now they're walking with God. Their whole eternity had been changed because of the ministry of the Apostle Paul. So having received so much from Paul, they knew that it was only right to contribute or give to him and give to his ministry, and that's what they are indeed doing. Nobody else, he said, you may be the only ones, but I tell you, they were, and they were consistent in their giving as well. This was not just a one-time event for these Philippians. According to verse 16 that I read to you a few moments ago, that is, when Paul was in Thessalonica, after he had left Philippi, they sent gifts to him. The Bible says in verse 16, once and again. In other words, they had sent gifts to him more than once. They were giving on a consistent basis. You can read about it, for example, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, listen to this. Verse number 1, we find a testimony to that truth. 1 Corinthians 16, the Bible tells us there, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I've given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." And ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what the Corinthians did, and that's exactly what Paul did. He collected this offering, and they gave. And listen, the principle was to give on the first day of the week when they gathered together. They all gave to be able to give to the believers in the city of Jerusalem. Consistent giving. is the way God's people ought to give. Supporting the work of ministry is something that we ought to always be doing, all the time. We're trying to learn a little bit about, ladies and gentlemen, the history of this of their giving, the Philippians. We're back in Philippians chapter number 4, and if you're there, you'll notice not only the history of their giving, but also the flourishing of their giving. Look what the Bible says in Philippians 4 and verse number 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care of me has flourished again, wherein you also were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. So Paul closes the letter with rejoicing in his heart. He started off with thanksgiving in chapter number 1, now he closes with rejoicing. And one of the reasons why he's rejoicing is because he says that the care of the Philippians has flourished again. The care for Paul that they had demonstrated in the past that we just looked at, that is that they had demonstrated while he was in Philippi and then after he went to Thessalonica, once and again they cared for him on the second missionary journey. The Bible says that their care for him is flourishing again. They're doing it again. The idea of flourishing is like a flower that is once again blossoming. You're all beginning to experience that at your house. Maybe you got some flowers planted and they're starting to bloom once again. That is, they haven't been looking at you all winter long, and now here they are about ready to bloom again, and maybe they are blooming again, and you're so glad to see them again. That's the word flourishing. Paul said, listen, you gave to me, you helped me, and contributed to the ministry, this apostolic ministry in the past, and now you're doing it again like a flower that is blooming once again. He says, I'm so thankful to God, I am rejoicing. In verse 14, Paul calls it communicating with my affliction. Communicating with my affliction. He said, notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Paul was currently going through a time of affliction. He was under house arrest in the city of Rome. And ladies and gentlemen, these were difficult times for Paul. He's under arrest in the city of Rome. Then he's confined to a certain location. He is chained down in that location. He's got a Roman guard with him in that location. He has a minimal amount of food that he eats in that location. And so these are difficult times, and Paul has a lot of needs in his life. And these believers, they're doing again what they had done in the past. They're sharing what they have with Paul to help him meet his needs during this difficult time that he's going through. You see, the Philippian believers had taken up an offering, and they gathered up items that Paul needed while he's under house arrest in Rome, and they sent it to him. One of their members, a man named Epaphroditus, that's referred to, ladies and gentlemen, in this chapter as well as the others, traveled to Rome with those gifts. And according to what we read in chapter number 2, Epaphroditus himself was a blessing to Paul. Listen to chapter number 2 and verse number 25 of the book of Philippians, where it says, Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you, Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants, he ministered to me, he served me, and he brought blessing to my life. And so since his imprisonment in Rome, Paul has been, there. And now there's a flourishing of giving on the part of the Philippians once again. According to what we read here, there had been a time in which they didn't have the opportunity to help Paul, according to verse number 10. They wanted to, but the opportunity was not available for whatever reason. Maybe they didn't know where he was at. Maybe they didn't know how to reach him, but they could not give. But now, all of a sudden, they're helping him again. And the fact that they send him these gifts, as they had done in the past, has brought rejoicing to his heart and life during this difficult time that he's chained down in the city of Rome. Listen to me. If you really want to bless somebody who's been a blessing to you, then just do that. Just look for a need and try to meet that need. In other words, don't just think about how much you care about them, but do something about it. Just demonstrate it in a way that they'll know that you're thankful to God for them, and especially when they're going through a difficult time like Paul was going through. Giving to others in their time of affliction is the right thing to do. Paul said in verse number 14, you have well done. You've done the right thing. You've done the good thing by doing that. And listen, if it was right when the Philippians helped Paul, then giving is still the right thing to do today. Let me read you a couple verses. For example, in Romans 12 and verse 13. In Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 13, listen to what Paul wrote. He said, distribute to the necessity of the saints. He's given them a whole list of commands. Distribute, share with the necessity of the saints, and be given to hospitality. Listen to Galatians chapter number 6 and verse number 10. It says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, but especially unto them that are of the household of faith. Listen to 1 Timothy chapter number 6 and verse number 17. Charge or command them that are rich in this world, which would be probably all of us. Those who are rich are those who have a little bit extra, more than their basic necessities, and that is charge or command them that are rich in this world not to be high-minded nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. And listen, here's the command. Do good, be rich in good works, ready to distribute, and willing to communicate or share. Listen to 1 John 3, verse 17. But whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shuts up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? To see somebody, your brother, have a need and not care enough to do anything to help that brother. I mean, how can we say the love of God is living on the inside of us? He said, my little children, let us not love just in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. What I've been trying to describe to you, ladies and gentlemen, is not the history of the giving of these Philippians, but also the flourishing of their giving. Now they're giving again. But what our focus is really on is the blessing of their giving. Because the believers at Philippi cared enough about Paul to give to him in the past, and now it's flourishing again to his ministry, all kinds of blessings are resulting from that. And obviously, the Philippians were being blessed. Turn back again to Philippians chapter number 4 and you'll see it. The Philippians were being blessed. Notice verse number 17. Paul writes, not because I desire a gift. He said, I'm rejoicing because you're giving again, but he said, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Not my account. He said, I'm not rejoicing because of what's going into my account, but he said, I'm rejoicing because the fact that you're giving means there's going to be fruit abounding in your account. That you're going to be the one that's blessed. The one who's giving is going to be the one that is indeed blessed. You see, Paul didn't want to give the impression that he was sitting there in Rome under house arrest, depressed because nobody had given him anything. He was not trying to manipulate somebody into giving him something. No, the desire of Paul's heart, he says here, is that fruit might abound to their account, that is the believers in Philippi. Paul's desire for the believers is that they would be blessed abundantly, that they would experience a harvest of fruitfulness in their life. And listen to me now, giving is the way to receive the blessings, God's hands of blessing in this life and also at the judgment seat of Christ. There is a biblical principle that all of us are trying to get a hold of in this message, and that is that God blesses those who give. The way to receive God's blessings, ladies and gentlemen, is to give a blessing. Listen, in Acts 20:35, Paul taught us this, that it's more blessed to give than to receive. And indeed, it is. If you want God to open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, then just start giving. Just start giving. Paul understood this. And that is that God blesses those who give. And he blesses them in all kinds of different ways. And that's why he was rejoicing. That is when he received the gifts from the Philippians, because he knew that God was going to bless them, and that's what his heart desire was, that God would abundantly bless these believers so much, that there wouldn't be room enough to receive it all. God blesses those who give. Hey, if Paul could come to Eastern Gate and preach a sermon for us today, and I'd be glad to sit down and let him have the pulpit. One of the things that he might tell us as a church and as individual believers is, listen, I want God to bless you in every possible way. And one of the ways that you'll receive the blessings of God is by giving. By seeing the needs of ministry and the needs of others, and by using your time and your resources and your energy and your talents and giving of yourself. When you pour out yourself, who you are as a person and the gifts that you have and using the talent you have and the time that you have and the material resources you have to share with others and give to others. When you do that, then you're opening up, listen, you're opening up the opportunity. You're going down the right road. And listen to me now, it may not be immediately, but before long, God is going to begin to bless you. Amen. He sure will. And He will. You say, Pastor, I sure would like to receive all the blessings of God. You got to get on the right avenue. And one of those avenues, ladies and gentlemen, is the avenue of giving. Let's pray. Father, I pray the Spirit of God would work among us and deal with us. Lord, I pray that you speak loudly to our hearts and work powerfully in each one of our lives. We could get surrendered to you. God, get abandoned to you and yielded to you in this area of our life. God, you blessed all of us so much. But God, you've not blessed us, Father, for just ourselves, but so we can turn around and be a blessing to somebody else. So would you teach us how to do that? God, thank you for what you're saying to us, how you're working in us. And God, I pray, Father, that you make this truth real to our hearts. And Father, we're going to give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together.